Welcome back to the Founders Lounge. I am Don. I think the last three podcasts, I've started this show out by saying we're back after a long hiatus. I seriously think we'll go like 3 or 4 months without doing one.
It's like, hey, we need to do this again.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, I've always said the podcast is kind of a little like side gig project thing that we play with and have fun with. Someday, Scotty, I promise we will do this like professionally and go full bore, but we're just too damn busy with doing shit. Well, I've thought about doing this episode for a while. When we rebranded Clean Truth and started trying to talk about more business-related topics and franchise-related topics, Yvonne and I were sitting around one night and we're like, you know, we got some really fucking cool stories of our owners. Like, it'll blow your mind if you heard some of the stories on how some of our owners got here, like what they were doing before, now what they're doing, and to see like how far they've come and transitioned into that. It'll blow you away. So the first one I thought about was you, obviously, because you're probably the longest tenured one?
Yeah.
So, and then just knowing where you came from and knowing what you were doing, I'm like, this will blow people away if they knew where you started to where you're doing it, where you're at now, what you're doing.
It'll be an interesting listen, that's for sure.
So we got Mike Parker on the show today. Thanks for coming down. I know you're in Raleigh, so it's a 2-hour drive.
Hey, man.
Appreciate you making the trip, but yeah, so I guess let's just get into how you even got involved with Clean Eats and where you, I know you, I tell people when they come into Discovery Days, we talk about you a lot because we explain the whole supplement and bar, you know, gig and how that came to be. So I tell your story a lot to newcomers that come into the brand, but a lot of our people have never heard it. So
yeah, man. So how far back do you want me to go? Because this is a pretty—
All the way, baby.
All the way?
That's
all
the
right.
Impressive part.
All right, so around Christmas in 1983, I think my mom—
Oh, you don't have to go back that far.
Okay, okay, okay. All right, let's fast forward a little bit. So, I mean, I'm September, baby, so I mean, I guess it started. My story started back then.
You went all the way.
All the way, yeah. So, growing up, I was a fat kid. Dealt with weight issues and didn't—
Growing up or still?
Easy. Well, just, you know, I deal with emotional abuse from Don here to there. Exact example right here. So growing up, you know, weight issues, self-confidence issues. I was like the quiet guy. You put me in a room full of people, I was against the wall. I remember when I was 18, I was getting ready. I don't remember where I was going. I looked in the mirror. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like just that aha moment, that epiphany. It's like, what am I doing? It's like, I was out of shape. I had no direction. It's just a piece of shit, really. Just existed. And I was like, I'm done. I'll never forget it. I just looked in the mirror. I'm like, I'm done. And right then my life changed. I was like, I don't know what to do. How am I going to change my life? Pre-Instagram, pre-everything. It was just like, I'm standing staring in a mirror, like I'm disgusted with myself, like I want to do something different. So I was like, I want to change the way I look. Went to the gym, actually down in Southport. And you guys, anybody that's been there knows that's a fart on the map, or at least it was when I lived there. There's nothing
Southport's
down there.
Awesome, man.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, think, you know, 20 plus years ago, there was nothing there. So I went to a gym that was attached to a driving range. And, I just walked in there. I'm like, I need a gym membership. And, you know, I'm quiet, shy. And literally walked in there, got a membership. I'm like, I have no clue what I'm doing. Just looked around. And I remember seeing, you know, this is, God, back, you know, 2002, 2003. I'll never forget, there was this dude in there, like, working out, like, with oil on him. Like, you've seen those guys, like, way back. They get oiled up before they work out. It's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? But I remember seeing that dude. He was yoked. And I was like, wow. That dude's like, this is pretty impressive how big this dude is. And I'm sitting here looking like a cupcake over here, melted candle. So I ended up, you know, just watching this dude work out, watch other people and just try to mimic what other people were doing. Cause I had no clue. I never did sports in school, never did anything. Like I was just, like I said, I had no direction in life. Long story short, in like 6 months, I lost like 70 pounds. I was just like, all right, I had the mentality. If I don't do this exactly right, I'll be a fat piece of shit forever. That was my mentality. Lost a ton of weight, literally changed my life in 6 months. then it gave me a lot more self-confidence, all that. And I was like, all right, I'm in better shape. I'm like, well, I'm really skinny now. It's like, I want to get bigger. How do I do that? And then that's where it started. I said, all right, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to do a bodybuilding show. Knew nothing about bodybuilding. I'm goal oriented. I realize that now, but back then I was just like, I need to set a mark. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do a bodybuilding show by 30. So throughout my 20s, I, you know, did the whole thing, eat big, get big. Yeah, you get fat. Learned a lot about how to get big, but got a lot of muscle, but got a lot of fat too, and went up and down. I could never really get to where I wanted. And in that time, also went to college. I lasted a week and a half. I remember, let me backtrack a little bit. I barely graduated high school just because I didn't want to go. I didn't do well sitting, learning. I just, it's like, this is not for me. Barely graduated. I had great grades, but I barely graduated because of attendance. Like my senior year, I had one class. I had to be there from like 9 to 11. And then I went and did like a welding course at the college, which was awesome. I really enjoyed that. But in college, or excuse me, high school, my senior year, it was a math class. And I was like, all right, what days are the tests? They told me Fridays. I'm like, all right. They gave me a book. I gave it back. I showed up every Friday to take a test. That was it. I had a 99 in the class. And they're like, we can't let you walk across stage and graduate. I'm like, why not? I was like, I have a 99. They're like, you weren't here. I'm like, why do I have to be here? I was like, I'm one of the top students in this class. This is my only class. Why do I have to be here? And they couldn't give me a reason. And I really struggled with that. I'm like, tell me why. This doesn't make sense. I'm like, this doesn't add up. You give me the stuff. I know it. I figured it out. We're done. And they almost didn't let me graduate for, I think probably about the last month and a half of actual school, I had to stay after for like 4 to 5 hours every day and sit in a room and do nothing to make up time. And I was like, this is the biggest crock of shit ever. I was like, why am I doing this? This is a waste of time. So fast forward, I worked for like a year and a half doing a furniture warehouse thing, which is great. Learned a lot from that guy, like a lot to this day. I attribute a lot of my success to the lessons I learned from that dude. I was like, you know what? I don't want to do manual labor the rest of my life. I'm going to go to college. A week and a half in, I remember standing up and just looking around. I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm like, this is reminiscent of high school. It's like, I am wasting my time here. I just walked out. I was done. Then I became I remember I was like, all right, now I don't have a job. What am I going to do? This was probably 2004 or five. And I was like, I'll find a job. Man, it was hard. I couldn't find a job. Like I was couch surfing. I didn't have anywhere to live. I had a 99 Ford Ranger, single cab, all my crap in it. And I'm like, all right, I don't have anywhere to live. I'm trying to figure this out. And I was just couch surfing about a month and a half, found a job, found a roommate, made it all work. And the job, I applied every day, everywhere, couldn't find a job. And ended up, somebody's like, this dude's hiring. He does cable stuff, like cable contract. I'm like, I don't care what it is. I'll do whatever. Met this dude. He's like, well, you got a truck? I'm like, yep. He's like, you got $1,500 for tools? I'm like, nope, I'm done. This guy's like, you know what? I'll front you the money for the tools, get you started. I was like, I'll do whatever. So then I started training, doing cable. I'm like, I don't even know what cable, like what, TV? Cool, whatever. I'll do anything. Just, I want to make some money. So a week and a half of training, I was like, oh, so what do I get paid? They're like, well, you get paid for what you do. Like, what does that mean? They're like, we give you jobs, you do them, you get paid, and you can keep doing more jobs. I'm like, so there's no limit on what I can make? They're like, no. I was like, all right, that's cool. My first week after training, I made like $1,600 in like 1 week. I'm like, oh, I was in college. Like what? This was dumb. I was like, yeah. Made $1,600. I'm like, and I can work more. And that's where I realized I was like, I'm a workaholic. Like I was like, if I did this and I'm only in my first week and what could I do? So I just started working a lot. That's all I did. I'm like, you know, school wasn't for me. I can see a path to making some money here. Let me just do this. So I hammered down and did that for quite a few years. I think, I did it for like 11 years, but we were a contract group. And then I remember I was like 21 at the time. I was an arrogant little prick too, because I was really good at what I did and I made a lot of money and I was just arrogant and didn't get very far with the company I was with. And then a new company came in town. I was like, I'm going to work here. And I remember I was like, all right, what I'm doing isn't working. I'm not getting ahead. So let me go in a different mindset into this. I was like, I'm going to volunteer for everything. And I'm going to do the absolute best I can, say yes to everything, and just see where it gets me. Within 4 months, I went from being just a base level tech walking in. There's 25 of us in this company. within, I think, 4 or 6 months, I was a supervisor. Within a year and a half, I was a manager. And I think within 3 years, I was the operations manager of the company. We ended up growing to like 300 employees. But I remember it was just mindset. I walked in there. I'm like, you know what? If this is what I'm choosing to do, I'm going all in. And I'm just going to say yes and go. Let me see what I can do. I'm choosing this. I'm going to commit to it and go. Ended up being like the owner, the VP, then me. And then 300 guys below us within the matter of a couple of years, which was, to me, I'm like, wow, I did this. This is awesome. I was like, this is what I tried to do. And in the meantime, I'm getting to the end of my 20s. I'm like, all right, I'm still working out. I still enjoyed that. But I'm like, I'm getting ready to try to do this bodybuilding show, and I have no clue what I'm doing. And that's where I met you.
In walks the most magnificent looking dude you ever seen in your life.
You can say magnificent, or I'd say this dude had the most astounding resting bitch face I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's like, is this dude about to just try to fight everybody or something? Because you were that dude that was like, I mean, the dude was in great shape. I don't know what happened between now and then, but not the dude, like Don was in, you know, great shape. He was competing. Him and Yvonne were in there, and they're real quiet, carried their little bag around. They're little gym rats. I'm like, all right, you know, it was a small gym, and Gold's Gym in Wilmington, to me, to this day, was probably the best gym I've ever been part of.
It was the Mecca.
That place was phenomenal. It's like, I'm grateful for being in this town at that time, because, you know, Mike B built something there that was awesome. Like, I still talk about that to this year. I was like, oh, it's a good gym. Like, nothing is yet to compare to that gym. But that's where I met you. And I remember I was talking to a couple people in there, and, you know, I was like, you know, hey, I want to do this bodybuilding show. I don't know anything about it. They're like, oh, you should go talk to Don and Yvonne. They have this little cafe, you know, whatever they can do, help your meal prep. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Because at the time I was super busy with work. You know, I worked a ton. Like, I mean, way more than I should have, just being a salary employee there. But I remember the time was very important to me. So I met up with you, and I remember you're like, hey man, I'll tell you what, I'll coach you doing your bodybuilding show if you just buy your food from us. I was like, yeah, help me out with the nutrition part, because that's where I'm lacking. I don't know much about it. And this is before this, like, bodybuilding was all, you know, trendy and whatnot, to where, you know, not many people did it. And that's why there wasn't a lot of knowledge about it. And so that time I was still doing cable. Met you and Yvonne, became friends with you guys, and we started working on getting me ready for that first show. And I remember I had a picture when we started.
I remember.
And then 5 months later, what it transitioned to. And it really is crazy looking back. It's like, wow, man, I was probably 29 at the time, maybe 30.
I remember when we started. I think you had ran some gear before, maybe. And then we started like a serious one for your show prep.
Yep.
And you were that dude who you could literally walk by a bottle of testosterone and be in shape in 2 weeks. Like, I've never seen a human absorb and just consume, you know, product like that and see the transformation that freaking fast.
Well, I don't know if I ever told you this, but the shit that you were recommending, like, I did half of it. I didn't even do all of it. And it's thing is, though, it's just like anything. If I was to do it, I'm all in. Like, I'm sticking to it. There was no cheating. There was no bending. I'm going to do it. So I remember you laid out a plan for me, like a 4 month prep. And I remember like 6 or 7 weeks out from the show, you're like, you're ready. I'm like, what do we do? You're like, I don't fucking know.
Slam on the brakes.
Yeah. It's like, what are we going to do? So I remember you're like, let me call my coach and ask him. Like, I don't know what to do. So I don't think I ever told you this, but I remember like I was peeled ready for that show. It was probably 5 weeks
out. Oh, I remember. Fuck yeah.
And then I went home and I was bored, because all I did was, you know, I back then too, this is where the structure came into play. I used to wake up at 4:15 in the morning and I would have to sit down to work at 4:30. So from 4:30 till about 6 or 6:15, I had to route out all the company work between like directional bores, you know, directional berry stuff. I had to coordinate with them. I didn't completely route that out, but I had to coordinate with them. And I had a bunch of different technicians all over the state of North Carolina that I had to lay out. It was stupid at the time. Time Warner wouldn't give us the work until 4:30 in the morning. So I'd sit there at the computer, wait for the work to drop, and then route it out to all of our teams all across the state. It was the stupidest system, but everything depended on me. if I overslept, if I missed a day, the entire company was screwed. So that's where I was like, all right, I got to show up every day. That helped me a lot. Like, I'm giving you all this background to lay into where it's applicable nowadays, but I learned a lot with that, just being, you know, being responsible.
Sure.
Like, I have to do this. But then after that, I went to the gym every morning. I'd sit out there sometimes and be in my car before the fucking doors would open, just waiting to go do my cardio. And do cardio every morning, then go work, then get out of work. I go to the gym for an hour and a half or whatever. I'd eat my food and go to bed. That was my life for 5 months getting into this show, where I sacrificed everything because I was like, this goal is important to me. So 5 weeks out, we're getting ready for the show. I'm ready. They're like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I don't fucking know what to do. I don't know what I'm doing right now. And I was like, all right, I'm bored. I'm going to go buy some food for after the show. So I remember, like, I got a big jar of peanut butter, big jar of almonds. I didn't buy any like cheap, like candy bars and stuff. I'm like, I love peanut butter and almonds. So I took it home, stared at it one day. Next day, stared at it. And then
it's talking to you.
Openly. Oh, yeah. Oh, it got bad. And I remember, I'm like, well, I'm just going to eat one. Bro, I don't know what happened. I blacked out. I literally, like, one of those big jars of peanut butter and the big thing almonds, I ate all of it.
I think I remember you calling me and you're like, hey, man.
I fucked up.
Don't get mad at me, but I think I fucked up. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I pigged out.
Yeah, because I was like, I ruined everything all these months of work. And honestly, I think that's what helped us is, I mean, how many thousands of calories do you think that was?
Dude, I don't know. I do remember, though, you were... I didn't help too many people when we first got here because I didn't want to do it. But you were one of the only ones that I remember telling, like, don't train arms.
Yeah.
You didn't do one fucking arm workout the entire prep.
I'm like, for like 5 months.
Your arms are so stupid big, like, we got to catch the rest of your body up to them.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember ever telling you to do arms. But, like, I never wanted to help train people for shows or do any of that. Like, doing the whole prep coaching thing was never a thing until, you know, Yvonne and I moved here. And to be honest with you, man, I was still kind of new competing. I had only done maybe 5 or 6 shows when we moved here. And I'm trying to remember who the first one was.
The first show, the first person you helped?
No, the first. It was a female that came to me and asked me for help. And I said, okay, well, what have you been doing? I didn't even tell her yes or no. I said, what have you been doing? And she told me the drug protocol that this person that was helping her told her to do. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so she asked me to help her. And I went back and I remember going to Yvonne and saying, you know what? Like, I have zero intentions of doing this, but I feel like if I don't step in, these girls are going to kill themselves. Like, somebody's going to get seriously injured. And
some of these protocols these people do.
Yeah, really.
It's unreal, man.
And I was like, you know, I haven't done this a long time, but I know enough to help somebody manipulate their food is easy to manipulate. Yeah. You know, the drug piece of it, you know, I know enough to help somebody new at it. You know, and if I got in a bind, I had guys I could lean on and ask questions to. So that's how I got into it. And I was honestly very fortunate to the people that I did help were really good. Well, you know what I mean? And everybody was like, damn, this dude must know what he's talking about. Not really, man. Like, you know, when I helped Zeb did, I coached him 2 or 3 shows.
Man, I forgot about that. Yeah.
But Zeb's a genetic freak.
Dude, at 21, that dude looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. And natural too.
What was his name? Parker Fuhrer. Remember him? He was a taller men's physique guy. But I coached him through 2 shows. Again, he was just a genetic.
Didn't you help Mitch?
I did.
Mitch did good too.
He was like one of the first ones I helped. And that dude, he won 5 shows the first year I coached him and then went to nationals and got top 10.
Yeah.
The very first national show he did. And then after that, he went on and hired some big name coach, which was fine with me. I didn't care. Yeah. I was like, dude, you're past my potential now anyway.
I think the thing is, though, people overcomplicate it. Just do what the fuck you're supposed to do. Stick to it. Don't veer from the plan.
Over time.
It's like, you know, and people change up too much stuff. Like, I'm not getting results. So go to a different coach and flip everything upside down. Oh, I'm not going to do this show. Now I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's like, lay a plan out and stick to it. It's that simple. But yeah, so we did that show and did okay. Cause my whole goal was like, I don't want to be a bodybuilder. I just want to do one show. Just, you know, I'm goal oriented. I'm like, let's check it off the list. I did one. Well, I did one. I'm like, I could do better.
I was sitting here trying to think if you did more than one. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. I was like, I could do better, but here's where I fucked up. You were like, oh, I need a reverse diet. I'm like, yeah, okay. man, I went fat kid, full steam ahead. I think I gained 40 pounds in like the first month afterwards. Like it's a hard, month man. After my show, it's like people are like, did you give up on everything? And I was just like, oh, wow, what did I do? So the next show was a year later. And I remember, man, it was probably six solid months of dieting because I had completely wrecked I wrecked everything. My body would not budge. So it was 6 months of hard diet to where it's like I would diet hard for a month, do cardio, do everything, and I would look exactly the same for a month. Mm-hmm. Just because my body was just so wrecked. And I remember it's like, man, I don't want to give up. But I'm like, I can't do this because it's almost like I did this. Now I'm paying I'm getting punished for it. Now I've got to put in this work. I have to do it. Now there was no choice. I got to get back. So I remember, what was his name? Sherwood and the other dude at that time, John.
Gerkman,
yeah. I remember because, you know, all of us were doing the bodybuilding thing together at that time. I remember I'm like, yeah, I'm about to start prep. And they looked at me like, they're like, for this year? I'm like, yeah. They're like, okay, man. And, I, you know, to me, I'm like, all right, no one thinks I can fucking do this. And I looked in the mirror. I'm like, God, I look like shit. I'm like, all right, let's go. And I remember the next prep we did, it was a ton of carb cycling. It was fucking hell. Because I even remember you were like, I don't know if you can do this. I'm like, I'm going to fucking do it now. That was the most miserable 5 months of my life because I paid the price. I treated my body like an asshole and now I'm having to pay for it. But I remember about a month out from this one, we were better than the first time because we learned what worked and what didn't. You know, went on to do that show. It was fine and all. But then I was like, all right, I'm done after this. After that show, I'm like, I could do better. So I was like, I'm going to take a year off and just work on building on the weak parts. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Cause I was enjoying the process. Like it, I hated being on stage. I hated everything about that.
I hated that.
But what did it for me, like when we were working out, bro, I wore long sleeves and sweatpants. Like Nobody knew I was training for it. It's like, it wasn't for like the clout that it is nowadays. Everybody's like, want to be an influencer and all this. It's like, man,
it was the process.
Yeah. I enjoyed the process and I liked the result. Like when I was done, I was like, I did this. I couldn't pay for it. I couldn't cheat it. I couldn't do anything. It's like whatever I got, it was because of what I did and the work I put in, the dedication. And that's where I really enjoyed it because, man, you know how it is. You know how it is. Whenever you're done, you're like, I did this. I'm proud of this. It's like I sacrificed. I put in the work and here's the result, which is, I mean, let's be real, the result. Nobody gives a shit anyways what you look like. But it was just one of those things like check a box. I did it. I pushed myself to this. And I'll tell you what, out of everything I've done in my life, I think that helped lay the foundation for everything I do now, because it really proved to me I can do anything. I truly believe that. I believe I can do anything. Like bodybuilding was the hardest thing because it was mental. The physical part was easy. It was a mental, hey, I'm going to deprive myself of things, deprive myself of the social interactions with whether it be drinking with friends or doing all this. Cause I had to be structured. Everything was very detailed, laid out. Like, you had times you had to hit, you had macros you had to keep, you had to lay out a plan, you had to execute on that plan. You couldn't veer from the path because if you did, you just fucked yourself out of all this work. At least that's what I told myself. If I veered off the path just a little bit, all this was for nothing. So that's why I never veered from the path except for that time with the peanut butter and the almonds and that. But anyways, it helped me learn, which I at the time I had no clue. I was just like, I want to do good at this show. I didn't think about what I was learning along the path. And looking back now, it's like, man, that helped lay the foundation for my success now, or whatever you want to call where you're at now. It's like, it taught me structure. It taught me so much accountability, delayed gratification, everything. It's like, it taught me so much. And I'm very grateful for that time in my life. I don't ever want to do bodybuilding again.
You couldn't pay me to get on the stage.
No, me either. I never. But so then around that time, you know, I met Tiff, my wife. I remember I was dating her for a while and I'll never forget at your wedding, you were like,
I probably commented on her butt.
Absolutely did. You're like, dude, her butt. I'm like, I know, right, man. It's phenomenal. You definitely did. But then you're like, man, if you don't marry her, you're a fucking idiot. I'll never forget that. Cause I was like, it was at your wedding too. You know, great wedding, you know, and we're all, you know, just,
I wish I remembered it, but I was so drunk. I don't.
I'll never forget Yvonne. Me and Yvonne went up to the bar. Yvonne's like, all right, what do we do? I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, what do we drink? I don't drink. I'm like,
Well, a lot of honey. People don't understand. Well, they wouldn't because they didn't know us that well. But until that day, we hadn't drank in 8 years.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah,
literally.
I know.
We had not drank in 8 years.
Yeah, because if I was like, what do I do? I was like, I got you. Fucking hour later, all of us. Oh, God. God.
Dude, I was football batted.
Yeah. But I remember at your wedding, you know, you were like, you need to marry her. I'm like, yeah, all right.
First. I remember right, it was a red dress. Is she going to listen to this?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I think you're actually right. Yeah.
Sorry, Tiff. It ain't like I wouldn't tell you if you were sitting here anyway.
But so at that point in time, her and I were dating for a while. And then I was tired of my career, if you even want to call it. You know, I was like, hey, I'm done. This is life. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to work for this contract group. We're going to keep building it. The owner was like, hey, I'm going to give you equity. We're going to do profit sharing. I'm like, hey, man, I'm done. This is what I'm doing. I'm really good at what I do. I enjoyed it. But over time, I was like, man, this isn't challenging. It's becoming more of a headache than a challenge because I love a challenge. And I was like, I do my stuff. But I'm like, I'm not challenged. So I started losing interest in what I was doing. And then the owner was promising all this stuff and never delivering. I'm like, man, what am I doing? And I remember that year we grossed $22 million. And then I remember looking about what I was making and then him making all these promises. I'm like, okay. You know, which I'm happy for his success. The dude, he's one, another person that I learned so much from. And I attribute a lot of the things to nowadays is that man, that dude is a hard fucking worker, man. He was a guy where I'm like, I don't think I can do it. And he's like, all right, I'll come there. I'm like, no. It's like, you call me a bitch. I can do it. Cause that's what it was. It's like, you're going to be a bitch and you can come out there and do it. I'm like, I got it, man. And it's just like the dude taught me a lot. He's a hard fucking worker, but not necessarily the best businessman. Well, I guess he was if he made that much fucking money. I didn't agree with the way he did it, but that's where we came to a head. And I was like, man, this dude's doing all this. I'm like, why not me? I was like, I got to a point where, what, like I said, it wasn't a challenge. It was a headache. And I was like, man, I need to be challenged. I realized that at about that point in my life. I'm like, I constantly need to be challenged to keep me interested. Like school, same thing. I hated sitting there. I'm like, hate this. Once I started losing interest in the career I was in, I was like, I need a challenge. So that time, you know, you, me, Vaughn, Tiff, we all became pretty good friends. You know, we did competition stuff. Tiff did the competitions. Like we had a good little group of friends that were like-minded, you know, interested in the same stuff. And Clean Eats was starting to gain some traction at the time. You know, I used it for 2.5 years. Yeah, like even when I wasn't competing.
Just franchise.
Yeah. It was before you franchised, I'm talking about. So I was getting all my meals there. I'd get 34 meals a week on Tuesday, which fucking pissed me off because I'm like, bro, I start my day on Monday. I need my food Sunday. You're like, sorry, deal with it. I'm like, fuck, man. There's always a pain in the dick coming there on Tuesday. But anyways, so I got my food and then you guys were talking about franchising. And at that time, it was just a pivotal moment in my life. I'm like, I'm gonna backtrack a little bit. I bought a house, saved up for like a year, sold my nice car, saved up for a year, bought a house, and I had two roommates. But I remodeled the house right before I moved in, which, you know, everything I do is fucking uphill battle, you know, walking uphill in the snow to school. I'm that dude, like, oh, what I did, it was hard. I'm not joking though. Like, I bought the house, a lady passed away and her family was selling it, and I bought it cheap because it needed to be renovated. Bro, this lady, I swear to God, she didn't crack a window or a door for 3 years and chain smoked in there. You take the windows off the wall take the pictures off the wall. There's like nicotine, like brown everywhere. Like house is disgusting. And of course me, like a challenge. I'm like, I can do this. Bro, I bought that thing. They gave me the keys on Friday. Me and Scott Dean went there Friday night in Adam and gutted the house, gutted it. Monday morning, the attorney called me. He's like, hey man, we got a little bit of an issue. One of the family members didn't sign off on it. They don't want to sell it. I'm like, send them some pictures. I'm like, show them this. See if they want to sell it. So the guy's like, oh shit. Cause the attorney's like, we messed up. We shouldn't have given you the keys yet. I'm like, well, they don't want this house back. So we had it gutted. And I remember I was going there. This time I was still working out. So I get up at 4:30. I do my stuff, go to the gym, work, go to the gym. Then I come home at night and work on this house, trying to get it done. Cause I didn't hire anybody. I used a couple friends, helped me, whatever. But then we had to get it done by a certain time because my two roommates I had lined up had to move out. So I finished their side of the house so they could move in. They lived in my house before I did because I was still trying to get it finished. So they moved in. And then in that time I was making good money, but I was saving every penny. And like, why are you saving your money? I'm like, I'm going to do something. Didn't know what. I'm like, I want to start my own business. I want to do something. So they lived with me for 3 years. I was just saving the whole time. I sold, I had a nice truck, had a nice car, sold all that shit, bought a $3,500 98 Acura TL. It was a piece of shit. Great car. But it's like, that's what I had. And every penny I just saved for 3 years. And at this time, fast forward back to you guys talking about franchising. And my girlfriend, now wife, she was like, why don't you do that? And I just laughed. I was like, two things. I'm never living in Raleigh. And I'll never own a restaurant or a bar. Those are the three things I said I would never do. Well, she said that. And I just laughed. I'm like, no way. She's like, well, you use it. You love it. I was like, yeah, but I was like, that's just not me. I don't know how to do any of that. I'm going to stick to what I know. And then, you know, start bringing all these things together. I'm not challenged at what I do. This guy, the owner, wasn't fulfilling the things he said he was going to do with me. I'm like, man. So I was like, we revisited that conversation. I was like, I'm going to talk to them. So I remember I went to you guys' house, that townhome.
I remember
we sat there and talked. And I was like, went back and.
I remember asking you, are you sure you want to do this?
I was like, I don't know. Like, you're going to
walk away from a career.
I was good at what I did. I worked there 11 years. I made good money. And, you know, so you said that. And I was thinking, I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do this. And then I remember talking to Ryan Klimczak. He was the VP of the company. You know Ryan. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't know, man. Everybody's like, I don't know. That's a big risk. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do it. I remember I talked to my parents about it. My mom's like, you'd be crazy to quit your job. You got it made there. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. And I kept thinking, the one thing that every time anybody said anything, the one thing I kept thinking is, if I don't do this, I'm going to fucking regret it. It's like, if I don't take a chance on myself, like I believe in you guys and what you were doing. I believe in the product, the concept. But the biggest thing that stuck out, I'm like, if I don't do this, I'm going to regret it. And that's the one thing in life. It's like, we all have regrets to a certain level, but it's like, I don't want to look back and say, what if I would have done this? And I remember me and my girlfriend got pretty serious at the time. We ended up getting engaged because she moved to Raleigh and we did long distance for like a year and a half. She was in Raleigh. I was in Wilmington. So it worked out during the week. It was just work, gym, work, bed, like literally Monday through Friday. That's all I did. She'd come down on the weekends. Well, I remember all this happened. She was trying to get me moved to Raleigh. I'm like, look, I'm not quitting my job. I'm done. Like I was dug in this career, but then all this happened. Then we got engaged and she moved down back to Wilmington, got a job at PPD. And we're engaged for, I don't know, 3-4 months maybe. And this is when we're having these conversations. She's like, why don't you do that? I'm like, you know what? After talking to you guys, talking to everybody else, I was like, I'm going to fucking do it. And I was like, I saved up a good little chunk of money. And I was like, you know what? Time to make life changes. Because I was like, we're getting ready to get married. I was like, if not now, then when? That's what I kept thinking. This is the prime time to do it. So I quit my job. A week later, got married. A week later, moved to the place I said I would never live. Of course, Tiff was like, I moved from Raleigh to be with you, Wilmington. 6 months later, we moved back to Raleigh. I'm like, hey, is what shit it is. Happens. Yeah, is what it is. Let's go. It was like, you got your way. Actually, I wanted to move to Charlotte and start the Clean Eats in Charlotte, but she was dug in on Raleigh. I'm like, all right, we'll do Raleigh, which, man, I'm so glad we did that. Thanks, Tiff. But quit my job of 11 years. A week later, got married, sold my house, liquidated every bit of retirement, anything I had, sold everything, and loaded up a moving truck. It was the biggest budget rental truck they had. Packed the whole house up, which my old roommate, I sold him the house, so it worked out great. It was easy transaction. Well, should have been easy. We didn't close for a year, of course, because of issues on his end. But so we packed up the moving truck. It's like, start a new life. Let's fucking go. 45 minutes later, a truck broke down the side of the road. I was stuck on the side of I-40, me and her, for 12 hours.
Okay, so hold on. I got to stop you there. So I got two things. One of the details that you left out is still some, like a story that we tell to other people to this day. When your name gets brought up, you mentioned you got married a week later.
Mm-hmm.
There was a conversation that between me and Yvonne and your dad. So one of the things that you're leaving out of this story.
Let me take it from there. So at my,
that was still like, I could remember that conversation like it was yesterday.
So, all right, let me backtrack a little bit to your point. So I had like 100 grand saved up, 120 grand saved up. And I'm telling you, I saved for years for that. And then went to open up, you know, the restaurant. And I did talk to my dad. I'm like, hey, I had nothing except this chunk of change. I had, you know, my wife had a job. I had nothing. Quit my job. I'm not going to get funding for anything. So I told my dad, I was like, hey, if I need to, could I ask for some help if it comes down to it? Cause I'm like, look, I sold my house. I'm getting some money from that. I should be good. He's like, yeah, I got you. So apparently, unbeknownst to me, 2 years later, my dad had some fun with some Fireball that night at that wedding, by the way.
Oh, dude, he was sauced.
He had a phenomenal time, and he does not like to talk about that because that is not in his character. But but I remember he told Yvonne and you, it's like, hey, it's better work. My retirement may depend on it, because he was, you know, in the mentality like he – My dad wants to see me succeed, which every father wants to see their children do better than them. So, of course, my dad's a great dad. He's like, I'll do anything to make sure you succeed and help you along the way. So he was telling – he told you guys my retirement could be on the line.
He said that you guys better be right. My retirement is in his hands. Yeah. And the significant part about that is it doesn't sound like it's that big of a deal. But you have to put yourself in our shoes. So we – I think we had two franchises at the time. We only had two locations.
No, me and Lauren signed up the first week.
Well, either way, regardless, yeah. We only had like less than three. So we were like brand fucking new. Mm-hmm. We were still sending the meal plan to you guys on a piece of notebook paper.
Yvonne was
texting the fucking weekly meal plans. She'd to you write guys.
It, send a picture with a piece of shit. So you barely
we
read
had
it.
Literally nothing but work ethic and a very good business model and a willingness to do whatever the fuck it took to make it work. Yep. And then when you hear somebody tell you that, you're like,
Oh shit.
Like it's real now.
Yep.
So, and then, you know, you talked about the truck breaking down. So we've got a little thing here within Clean Eats among a handful of owners, and we call it getting Parkered. Like this dude has, if there was bad luck, he's going to find it, or it's going to find him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't ever want to ride in a car with him. It's his. Like, I just...
If it can go wrong, it happens to me. But honestly, it's almost expected nowadays. And, like, Tiffany, when we first started dating, we go out to eat. I'm like, oh, great, my food's fucked up. She's like, oh, it's not. It just happened to you every once in a while. I'm like, no, you don't know me yet. It's like, we call it Parker luck. Like, man, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. So, yeah, so we go back to where we're at. Truck breaks down 45 minutes out of Wilmington. I'm like, you know, we're off to start a new life. Fucking get kicked in the dick. So I went, like, they sent a repair truck out, couldn't fix it. They're like, all right, we're going to send a truck to unload this thing into another truck. I'm like, the fuck you are? I was like, it took me 3.5-4 days by myself packing this entire truck. My whole life is in here. You're not going to have a bunch of idiots just throw in another truck and drive to Raleigh. I'm like, nah. They towed that thing all the way to Raleigh. $1,100 tow bill. They try to stick me with it. I'm like, I ain't paying this. I don't have any money. I'm like, yeah, I'm sitting there thinking, I just signed a lease, which we'll talk about that in a second. So we moved to Raleigh. I'm like, all right, freshly married, quit my job. I got this vision. Like, we're going to fucking crush this.
And then you show me a bagel shop.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's you and I went to Raleigh for like 6 months, probably every other weekend. Cause you guys used to deliver meals every 2 weeks, whatever it was. I was going up there every weekend. We'd ride together at least once a month, twice a month. Yeah. And I'd show you spots I found. The first one we pull up to, I remember, because we're going to deliver meals to Pat in that fucking van. We pull up. I was like, this is it. We didn't get out. We looked at it like, nope, took off. Like, nope, took off. 6 months go by. I was like, hey, man, let's revisit that. So went back and looked at it. It's the first one we looked at. And I remember I had a real estate agent let us in. The bagel shop had a sign on the door said closed for cleaning or whatever. They never came back. But I remember we opened up the walk-in, the amount of rotten food that was in that walk-in and bugs. It was horrible. And I was like, and at the same time, there was a deal on the table in Cary. And it was actually, that's when I first met John, the GC that's doing your corporate stuff that I introduced you to. First met him at that time. He gave me a bid on doing Cary. And then I had this shithole restaurant in Raleigh that was just a complete disaster. I had a choice between the two. And I remember, I'm like, man, Raleigh's going to be, or Cary would be nice, brand new. It's more money, obviously, but I'm like, that'd be so nice. And I looked at Raleigh. I'm like, this place is a piece of shit. My gut said, Raleigh, go with the shithole. And I remember a couple people like, you're serious? I'm like, man, I truly do believe go with your gut. Go with your gut. It's like your intuition is, you need to listen to
it's
it.
It's never wrong.
Yeah. So I was like, we're doing Raleigh. I remember people like, are you serious? I'm like, I got this. I was like, you know, I've done a house. I've done this. I'm like, I can do this. Because, you know, I signed a lease for that place. They left the lease and the keys in a riser room closet. They didn't even meet me on site. They're like, oh, it's in that closet. Go get it. Good luck. I didn't submit plans. I didn't do shit. I gave them like a $2,500 check for a security deposit. And they left a set of keys and a copy of a lease in a riser room full of cockroaches. That's my first restaurant. And I remember I was like, I walked in there all bright-eyed and bushy-tails. I'm like, we can do this. So I remember Zeb came up and was helping me gut it. Because I was like, I'm trying to save some money. I was like, I can do a lot of this myself. So we gutted it. And I went to get permits. And that's where
shit,
Parker luck hit again. The landlord didn't do a bunch of stuff to be in compliance with the city. So they were holding my permits hostage. Long story short, I went probably 4.5 months, no permits, to where we're like threatening legal action against the landlord, all this stuff. So in the meantime, I'm like, I don't have a lot of money. I was like, I got enough money to get this place open. I was like, oh, my house is going to close in a couple days. I'll get like 20, I think it was like 25 or 35 grand from that. I'm like, we'll be fine. Permits didn't come. House didn't close. I was like, shit, I don't have a job. And, you know, I'm stir crazy. I'm like, I can't just sit. I'm just working out a lot. But I was like, all right, I had the place gutted. I'm like, screw it. So I ended up meeting a guy, Ryan Beverly. I met him in the gym. First guy I ever met in the gym in Raleigh. Became friends with a guy, super nice guy. Turns out his dad's electrician. He's a GC. I'm like, oh shit, funny meeting you. And I was telling him what I was doing. He's like, if you need anything, let me know. I was like, all right, man. A couple months went by and I was like, all right, I need some help. I was like, I'm doing all the work, but I kind of work up under your, you know, your licenses and all. He's like, yeah, no problem. So I put paper over the windows in Raleigh and I did the whole thing myself. I remember I got everything. I called him like, hey man, can you come look what I did? Make sure it's in the code. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But I was like, Google, man, I learned everything off of Google and YouTube.
Google and YouTube are your friend. Man.
Phenomenal. So I ended up remodeling that restaurant for a fraction of what it should have been. And I remember my dad came and helped me build out the counter. The worst job I ever did. I cut out all the grout in that entire restaurant with a skill saw and two concrete blades, cut every inch of grout out of that place and regrouted the whole thing myself. I was like, I'll never do that again. I think I almost killed my dad one day too, because it was like July, hot as fuck, no AC. And we're working in there. I look over and he's about to die. Like, literally, I'm like, you good? He's like, I think I'm having heat stroke. I'm like, oh shit, I'm about to kill my dad. Like, it was rough, but we got it done. And I remember we opened, day one we opened.
Do you remember the epoxy that we put on the floor?
Oh my God. Man, the funny thing is though.
Man, you want to talk about putting lipstick on a pig?
Dude, it was so bad.
Ceramic
tile. It was your fucking guy too.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It was ceramic tile. And he comes in and lays this like, oh, chrome looking epoxy over a tile floor. Sent me a picture of it and I go, what the actual fuck is that?
Yeah, it was bad. But I'm like, we're done. I paid the guy like $2,000 to do it. I'm like, we're done. We're just going to open.
Oh my God. That was hilarious.
Yeah. So we went through some shit to get open. I remember, I was like, all right, now let's get some staff. Cause you know, my last company, I did all the hiring. I was like, man, I got this. Yeah. Parker, look again. I tried to hire for 2 weeks. Three people showed up. There were three employees I had when I started. So it was me and three people. The day we opened, I remember I'm like, who? Because I did reach out to my dad. I'm like, hey, my house didn't close. I was like, I am completely out of money. So he let me use his home equity line of credit. So I pulled money out of that, got the restaurant open. I don't think I told Tiff that either. And I remember the day we opened, I'm like, I got $300 to my name. Like, we were living in a one bedroom apartment. She had a job and she was paying the bills. She was paying my truck payment and our rent. And cause that's all we had. And I'm like, all right, shit. I had $300 money. I'm like, all right. Hey, can I borrow $1,000? She's like, what for? She's like, I don't have much money. I'm like, I was like, I just need to put it in the register. She's like, what do you mean? Just use your money. I'm like, Yeah, I don't have any money. She's like, what? I was like, yeah, I ain't got shit. And she's like, are we going to be okay? I'm like, oh yeah, we'll be okay. And in my head, I'm like, I don't know, man. So she gave me the money and put it in the register. I remember I was getting everything set up a couple of days. We had one last inspection. And I was working like 12, 16 hour days in that restaurant trying to get ready. And I remember it rained really bad. And I look up, I'm like, what's coming through the ceiling? bro, the main drain busted above my unit and was just pouring water in. I had 55 gallon trash cans sitting there just collecting all the water. Oh yeah. And I remember sitting there and that's where I broke. I was like, I just sat there. I fucking cried. I was like, what have I done? I left a great job, had a nice house. I'm like, I fucked up. I was like, I fucked up. About 2 minutes later, I was like, all right, stand up, get your shit together, fucking keep going. Figured it out. Then the fire inspector came, last inspection, the fire marshal. I met him outside. We started talking. I said, oh, I'm from Wilmington. We were just, you know, talking shit. You know, I'm a guy's guy. I could talk to anybody. So we're talking for like 20 minutes outside. He's like, all right, let's go in and look. He walked in the door. He's like, oh, nope, not going to work. I'm like, come again? I'm like, we're supposed to open in 2 days. He's like.
The riser room. I remember that.
No. It was the grill. It was too big for the hood. And I looked at him. I was like, man, you got to help me. I was like, if you don't let me open, I'm like, I'm done. Like, I'm done. I'm tapped out. I'm broke. I'm like, I'm like sitting here looking at him. I think you see it in my eyes. It's like, dude, I need help. He's like, you know what? He canceled the rest of his appointments. He's like, is your suppression guy here? Guy walked in. He's like, cancel your appointments. He's like, we're gonna make this work. So they had to redo all the fire suppression to pass code. He's like, this is skirting the line. But he's like, I got you. It's like, man, I will never forget that. It's like, without that dude helping me, I don't know what I would have done. Cause I was at that point where I'm like, I have exhausted everything. I'm done. And it was hinging on him helping me. So go forward. We open. And I was like, all right, day one, I owe my wife $1,000. I got $300. I've got 3 employees. Let's see what we can make happen. And I remember we opened, you and Yvonne came up. I think we did $500 in sales that day. And I was like, I was reaching out to everybody. Oh, come by the restaurant. Like I did as much as I could. And we did $500 in sales. I'm like, I'm fucked. I remember Yvonne's like, it'll be fine. I could see it in her eye. I'm like, you don't believe that either. Cause I remember you guys were sort of like, oh shit, we thought this was going to be a banger day one. And it was all of us were like, oh no, what happened? And, so yeah, then I learned a lot from then forward with the restaurants. Keep in mind, I never worked in a restaurant, never ran a restaurant, never ran my own business. I helped, you know, my other company. I ran that, but truly owning your own business, I had no fucking clue what I was doing.
So these are the things, these stories that you just told, these are the reasons why I wanted to do this. And so for, you know, this is by no means anything towards any of our current owners and our newer owners. But I feel like anybody that's signed on with our brand in probably the last, just say 4 years, 5 years, have no clue what we went through in the beginning to get this thing off the ground. Just so it could crawl, not even walk yet, but just crawl forward. You know, like, I think that's why we get a little emotional. Like, we've learned, like, hey, we've grown as a brand. We've grown as a model. We've matured. So, like, some of these complaints that we get from franchisees now on tech and IT and, you know, some of the things that, you know, they complain about now, we're like, I think the reason that it bothers us so much, my point is what I'm trying to say is, we always think and we remember how we started. And we're like, man, you're sitting here bitching at me over an IT issue for a very complicated custom website. 6 years ago, we didn't even fucking have one. We were fucking texting these menus out on notebook paper. And now you're going to email me and bitch and moan about a customer who can't find their profile on a state-of-the-art app? Give me a fucking break, man. I get it. They invested, like, I'm not saying they're wrong in their complaints. Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's why it bothers us so much, is because we remember those stories that you just went through.
I get that. I even deal with that with my employees. You know, we have 4 locations now, and some of them are like, oh, we don't have enough room, or oh, this or that, or it's hot in here. Oh, the meal plans are high this week. How are we going to get it done? I just look, I'm like, you guys have no fucking clue. Like when we first opened, we opened in September, I think it was September 16th of 2016. We didn't do much business throughout the end of the year. And then come January, it took off, like it went vertical and we were not prepared. I'll never forget. I called Yvonne on a Monday morning. I'm like, hey, we're 1,000 meals in the hole. What should I do? She's like, oh, I don't know.
Get your ass.
Or no, I didn't say that. No, then let me rephrase that. I called her. I'm like, man, we're 1,000 meals in the hole. She's like, oh God. She's like, let me know how you figure it out. I'm sitting there thinking, shit, this is why I'm fucking calling you. I don't know what to do. So I'm like, oh yeah, we got it. I'm like, all right, let's go. I mean, we rented a trailer, a refrigerated trailer, because we ran out of room or waiting for a walk. I mean, we did everything to just try to keep the ball in motion. And it was insane. The early days were literally just Wild West. And that's where, like, to touch on what you were saying, a lot of the newer people, like you said, I totally get it. Cause I do a lot of validation calls, and I truly try to help and give back to everyone as much as possible, because I remember how hard it was for me. It's like, I don't want those people to go through what I went through. I want this to where you can focus on growing your business, not all this other bullshit. And they don't realize how much we've grown until you hear stories like this, or, yep. And still the story doesn't even give it a justice as to what we really went through. Like the sleepless nights. Like I remember Delaney, you remember Delaney, the little CrossFit girl that used to work for me. We used to go in Monday morning at 5 a.m. and work till like 11 at night, Tuesday and Thursday. I'd have to get at the restaurant at 4:30 to meet the truck to play Jenga, or not Jenga, but play Tetris to get everything to fit. And then we'd work till like 11 o'clock on Tuesday nights. On Sundays, I'll never forget JD, Jesse, Tiff, me. We're at the restaurant on a Sunday. I got there at 6 a.m. I left at midnight. And I'll never forget it, cranberry chicken salad wrap. We had to make 1,000 of those and fold each fucking wrap, put in a container. I mean, the amount of time we spent doing these meals was insane. I will never forget that, because the good thing is, though, I'm not responsible for all my success by any means with the restaurants. Like, dude, the amount of people that have helped,
sure,
along the way is just like, I'll never forget that. Like that story, I'll remember that till the day I die. It's just, I didn't ask. They just showed up. They're like, hey, we know you're struggling. Cause I don't ask for help. I don't like asking for help at all.
I mean, but people show up. Shit.
Yeah.
People think that Yvonne and I like pioneered this, but like going through the battles that you went through that you just talked about, mm-hmm, that's how this brand got here.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't just me and Yvonne sitting in our house one day and going, you know what? This is broke. Let's fix it this way.
Mm-hmm.
It was trial and error. You first, I would say almost a dozen franchisees or franchise partners that we call them, you know, that came into the brand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made this thing mature. It is. And it's trial and error. And I, you know, just recently started consulting with other small emerging brands, and I'm working with this one guy, and he was asking me questions the other day. And I was like, look, man, your first 5 to 6 franchisees that you sign are going to be your most valuable asset, mm-hmm, yep, until the day you decide to walk away from it. He's like, well, yep, why is that? Because they're the ones that are going to help you build it. Because, mm-hmm, right now you have this, you have a thing, and you might have manuals and all this shit. All that means nothing. It really doesn't. You can, mm-hmm, go spend $100,000 on operating manuals and employment manuals and doing all this shit. None of it means a damn thing until you can put somebody else in your shoes and then see what breaks.
Yeah.
And then those first five or six are really going to be detrimental in this first stepping stone of helping you build what you will eventually create. And then not only that, they're the ones that are going to validate it, mm-hmm, till the day they're gone. They will always remember those days. And so you're going to have falling out. And I always tell people, guys like you, Neil, you know, there's a few other ones in our brand. We've had some very, very heated conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we don't even have time to talk about them. But, like, it was one of those things where I was so young and naive, even as a business owner. I'm like, it's my way or the highway. It's our brand, blah, blah, blah. Well, I had to grow and mature and be like, all right, man, you need to listen to them. They're out there. They're helping you do this. Like, it takes a maturity level to take a step back, put your pride aside for a minute and go, I need to open my ears and eyes and look, and maybe they're right. Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, they are. And it's not very often that they're wrong. And so I think that's one thing that a lot of people, that when they get into franchising and they try to like stomp on the ground and be like, no, it's this way or that way. Mm-hmm. You cannot do that, man. You'll fail every time. But those first 5 or 6 owners, when you first start a franchise, are going to be your most valuable asset till the day you.
Well, I know we talk about this a lot, but I think another huge factor in the success is making sure the people you surround yourself with have a good why. Like when we started, it was never about money. It was never about money. It's like, I want to help people. I want to do something I have a passion for. I want to help people. Like, bro, I didn't look at the P&L for 6-8 months. I just, every week, there's money in the account. Let's keep going. Never once looked at it. Hey, Tiff, are the bills paid? All right, let's keep going. Never once looked at it. And I remember when we started doing the books, I looked at the bookkeeper. I'm like, that's not right. Because my whole goal was like, at least make what I made before and own my own business. I'm happy. And it just naturally progressed to where we're actually making money. But it's like, it was never, that was never a discussion with anybody. It's like, hey, let's help people. Let's give the best product and the best customer service. Let's be the best at what we do. That has been my goal since day one and still is now. Everything else will fall in place. Like, obviously it's important with the financials and blah, blah, blah. But that's not my goal. My goal is like, hey, if we actively try to be the best every day and keep that mindset every day and start stacking days, start stacking weeks, start stacking months, it's impossible that we don't get better and it's impossible that we fail. We learn from our mistakes and keep trying to be better and better and better, with the better being better product, better customer experience, a better making ourselves a pillar and an asset in the community. We will never fail. And that's where I don't worry about the financial piece. Even when it gets hard, sometimes you're like, oh man, these accounts are getting low. It's like, hey man, let's stick true to what we're here for. Be the best in our space and stick to our why. You will never fail.
Absolutely. Well, before we wrap this up, I kind of want to finish it out. You started as a fucking cable guy, which is crazy to me. Is it 5 years or 6 years now?
Seven.
Almost seven.
Yeah.
So from day one to 7 years in, you're now up to three locations. They all do over $1 million a year in revenue. And I don't know if I'm supposed to air this out, but I'm going to anyway.
Yeah.
Now you're building a seven-figure home. That to me is absolutely retarded, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That house is stupid. And I can't wait to see it finished. But that, to me, you can't paint a better picture than that. So I'm super fucking proud of you guys. I'm glad you made the decision 7 years ago to help us build what we've built. And I appreciate everything that you've done for the brand and continue to do when it comes to validation and talking to new people and sharing your stories and your experiences, not only to our owners, but just to anybody in general, because it just kind of, it kind of shows the integrity of our brand and kind of why we do what we do. And we've got many other stories like this. They're a little bit different, but I think those early days of our early owners, man, I can't wait to bring more of them in here. As we're sitting here talking, I can think of a couple other ones that I'm like, he's got a badass pretty fucking story too. And I'm going to get him in here and have him tell it. And so I appreciate you coming down, man. This was great. Man, we need to do this again.
Thanks for having me, man. Glad to be part of all of this.
Keep kicking ass.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys. Until next time.